The Gary Knoll Show, weekdays at noon Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
Live from New York City, it's The Gary Knoll Show. And now, your host, Gary Knoll.
Everyone, I'm Gary Knoll, broadcasting live from the road, where I still have another 6 weeks of filming to do, but getting some really good stuff for 5 separate documentaries, all of which will be coming out in the next 14 to 16 months. And I'll also be doing some special programming that I'll tell you about. Today I've decided to have no guest because my issue of the day is a very important one, and I'd like for you to call in and share your points of view, your suggestions, what you believe we should be dealing with when it comes to America becoming a police state. You would have to be extraordinarily naive to believe otherwise. And I'll lay out our arguments why. But if you'd believe we're not a police state, we're not engaged in creeping fascism, we are not in a plutocracy, then share that point of view as well. We encourage all points of view, and all will be dealt with respectfully, as we always do. This is a program of inclusion, the latest on health and healing, environmental issues. And I try to focus on things that are not being given the type of attention they need within even the alternative media. For example, the latest on hydrofracking today. I'm also going to talk about banks have spent more on lobbyists this year to get their way. But what does that mean? What do they get for what they're spending? Used to be for every $100 in lobbying that you spent, you got $100 in favors or good results. Now it's $1,000. $1 spent, $1,000 returned. That's a great deal for the lobbyists and the people that they're backing. Also today, our issue of the day, which I'll deal with in about 15 minutes, Congress to vote on explicitly creating a police state. I'll talk from the Washington's blog and also give you some other commentary from Andrew Bosworth on this particular issue and from Global Research. Very important topic and one that I know this audience is up on. Let's begin. And again, I'll be going to calls in about 15 minutes. We have been against the use of antibiotics in farm production for a long time. I remember in 1974, I had a best-selling book called Body Pollution. And in Body Pollution, I laid out the argument that the foods that we're consuming were bad for our well-being, and one chapter dealt specifically with antibiotic overuse. And at that time, I interviewed a scientist in New Jersey at University of Dentistry and Medicine, who said that it already was at an epidemic level at that time. Now, why were people using antibiotics on animals? Simple. It changes the animal's metabolism, meaning the animal eats less food and gains weight, and animals are sold based upon weight. If that weight is water, if it's fat, they get the money. So that's why we've seen every effort to make animals fatter quicker, because it means more profit for the farmer. The trouble is, when you're eating even small amounts of antibiotics, which you are in dairy products and cheese and meat, chicken and fish, then that can adversely affect your own metabolism. In effect, the microorganisms, the bad ones that would normally be killed when you needed an antibiotic and you took it, and it would work, a penicillin, a tetracycline, whatever it may be, now the body starts to see that the bad bacteria evolve. They learn to change. Their defense mechanisms are so primitive, but so adept at change, they can change relatively quickly. Hence, the same antibiotic that used to be able to kill a microorganism can't. And as a result, we have super strains of bacteria now that, when a person's infected, will kill them. You generally don't see this in healthy people, people who have not eaten that way, who've eaten organic and fresh. Their immune systems are still strong, and an antibiotic generally works when needed. It's for the rest of the population it doesn't. So we have advocated no more antibiotics in feed. Here is the latest supporting our issue from Science Daily. Now, mind you, Science Daily is mainstream science. And this is, Science Daily is an official record. Evidence supports ban on growth promotion use of antibiotics in farming. I'm quoting now. In a review study, researchers from Tufts University School of Medicine, zero is on the controversial non-therapeutic use of antibiotics in food animals and fish farming as a cause of antibiotic resistance. They report that the predominance of evidence argues for stricter regulation of the practice. Stuart Levy, an expert in antibiotic resistance, notes that a guiding tenet of public health, the precautionary principle, requires that steps be taken to avoid them. Quote, the United States lags behind its European counterparts in establishing a ban on the use of antibiotics for growth promotion. For years, it was believed that giving low-dose antibiotics via feed to promote growth in cattle, swine, chickens, and use of antibiotics in fish farming had no negative consequences. Today, there's overwhelming evidence that non-therapeutic use of antibiotics contributes to antibiotic resistance, even if we do not understand all the mechanisms in the genetic transmission chain. And Dr. Levy is medical doctor, professor of molecular biology and microbiology, and director of the Center for Adaptation Genetics and Drug Resistance, Tufts University School of Medicine. So here's the bottom line. For 70 years, humans have relied on antibiotics to combat bacterial infections like streptococcus, meningitis, tuberculosis, urinary tract infections, and it has its place. I am certainly all for any medication that is proven to help save the life of a patient or to eliminate any toxic reaction in their body. It's when we overdo it, or we do it inappropriately, like getting an antibiotic for a cold or flu. How in the world could any responsible doctor give any antibiotic for a cold or flu when they are viral, not bacterial? And then that just weakens the person. Then when they do need an antibiotic, it because it's been misused and overused, then it contributes to antibiotic resistance, making antibiotics less effective at saving lives. So that's the practice. And then you end up one day with Staphylococcus aureus, or what's called MRSA, M-R-S-A. That's a very deadly infection that is resistant to almost all antibiotics. Now, what would help, and if you know anyone who has MRSA, my suggestion, immediately get them to a physician to do two things simultaneously, hyperbaric oxygen and then ozone. I believe that the only way to approach MRSA to give your body a chance to resist and kill it is with ozone. And by the way, bacteria are so evolutionarily intelligent, they can transfer antibiotic resistance to the bacteria, and multiple different resistance genes can be linked together in the process. And what happens is that even if farmers turn to antibiotics that are not commonly used to treat people, these drugs given over long periods of time can also promote resistance. And there are a lot of studies demonstrating that antibiotic-resistant bacteria can easily spread from animals to humans who are in close contact. For example, look at the surveys of veterinarians, slaughterhouse workers, and farmers and families of farmers who are in contact with animals that have the antibiotic resistance or use the antibiotics. You pet an animal and they're sloughing off, lysing off cells. That is one way we can contact this. And as much as 90% of the antibiotics given to livestock are excreted into the environment. Well, resistance spreads directly by contact and indirectly through the food chain. Water, the air you breathe, manure. Now, the other day, Friday in fact, I was out all day on a long drive. It was a six-hour drive to a particular area where there were two farms that were about 3 hours apart. And I had to leave at 4 a.m, got there, and filmed the first farm, which was a smaller farm. The second farm was the largest organic farm in that state. And they had a gigantic manure pile that was decomposting. And if you've never seen a compost, here's how it works. You take hay that's been used in cow barns and horse barns. You take chicken manure, and farmers want to get rid of this stuff. So they put it into a pile, then the pile is put in, you bulldoze it into the back of a truck and you take it. Now you dump it into a pile. Let's say it's 70 degrees outside. Nice day. If you put your hand in the middle of that pile, it's 150 degrees. It will burn your skin. 150 degrees? How in the world, if it's 70 degrees outside, it's 150 in? Because the microorganisms are breaking down. The metabolism is very fast. And as a result, it's only when the temperature cools that you have to then flip the pile, meaning you take either shovels if it's small or you take a bulldozer if it's large, and you, in effect, like you would knead dough, you keep folding it over and over and over again, adding more flour, you do the same thing. So in effect, you're mixing it, you're churning it. Then you let it sit. Now, how often is this done? About every week, for about 4 or 5 weeks. And then that manure and the hay, or if you take garbage, that you know, foods that you didn't eat, and you mix that in, which is important that you do that, all of that biodegrades down. And then after about 3 months, you have rich organic soil. You then take that soil and you spread it over your fields where you're going to plant. That goes into the ground and becomes the food for the seeds that you're going to plant. Now, if you pick up a head of, let's say, a carrot, you'll see on the bottom of the carrot a ball about the size of a golf ball. And it's a ball of dirt, but there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of little tiny villi. Look like little strings. That's how the carrot actually brings nutrients, minerals, and vitamins into it. That's how every food brings things in. You have to have a point of contact. And those, the more loose the soil, the more nutrients get absorbed. Dense soil, like clay, is very hard to grow anything in. And rocky soil, even harder. That's why a light loamy soil, something you can just reach down, stick your hand in, that's rich. That's how it's supposed to be done. And in a good world, that's how it is done. And then you get these great crops. Now, the FDA and the USDA would like to see human sludge and industrial sludge, where you take human manure that has drugs, heavy metals, antibiotics, many chemicals and microorganisms and parasites that do not break down, that will not be killed by air and sun. Normally, a great sanitizer is the sun. The sun hits the surface and frequently shatters, based upon the light spectrum of the sun that day and the heat, will shatter many of the outer coatings of bacteria and viruses and kill them. Some. But there are other bacteria that can live at the bottom of a volcano. Others can live at the bottom of the Antarctica. And you melt the snow that's been there 10,000 years and drink the water, you can get sick, because it's been in suspended animation, not dead. That's why this myth that putting things in the freezer will keep it fresh indefinitely, not true. It slows it down, doesn't stop its evolution. That's why you should never keep certain foods like an ice cream or something like that for more than about 6 months, even in a freezer, because the bacteria start to proliferate. In any case, come back to the issue. What we have is we now have sludge, which should never be used in farming, ever, for any reason. It's now being spread all over American cropland, and your vegetables are grown in it. Unless, of course, they're organic, in which case they're not. So then what happens is these nanoparticulate matters and these medications and antibiotics and chemotherapy and AZT and heart medications, they all come through, including tranquilizers, right into our soil. And remember, what's in the soil can end up in the product. In the water we drink, do you really think that New York City water is drinkable? It's a cesspool. Now, you won't get that from the mayor or the head of the water commission, because, quite frankly, once you become a person of responsibility, we're telling the truth is a double-edged sword. On the one hand, we want our politicians to be honest. On the other hand, the moment they are, we throw them out of office. We want a leader to be honest and sensitive and lay it on the line. Tell us the problem, let's find a solution. We got great minds. The moment someone is sensitive and tells us the truth, we become so disheartened, we want them out of the way. We want someone who's going to share the certainty of an illusion rather than the truth of a reality. That's the way we are. We're the dysfunctional ones. So when you blame the politicians, just understand, did you really want to know the truth? Most people don't. So if a politician said, look, the fact is we can get some particulate matter out, we can get some of the turbidity out, some of the discoloration out of your water, but there are almost 200 chemicals that you don't want in your body. They're going to come right through. Fluoride cannot get rid of them and is toxic in and of itself and cause cancer in and of itself, and chlorine in and of itself can cause cancer. When you take that hot shower, that's a chlorine gas that's coming out, and that can cause cancer. Plus, all these medicines are in your water, and we can't get rid of them. And there are some parasites, and we can't get rid of all them. So what we do is we give you the illusion that it's healthy. Well, what is the option? Oh, we could make it healthy. We could put gigantic ozone filtration system in, and that would get rid of everything. But that's $5 billion, and we don't have $5 billion, so we'll just lie to you. It's like in Fukushima. The latest report out of Fukushima shows that far worse than what anyone had anticipated. It is now officially confirmed it is Fukushima disaster is this bad. And this is just a typical example. The Japanese government has never been honest about anything. They're just pathological, sociopathic liars. They're causing a genocide. They have such disrespect for their own population, and especially women who've never had power in Japan, that they're willing to say, stay where you're at, eat the food, drink the water, don't be concerned, everything's fine. Truth, Minister of Education, Culture, Sports, Science, Technology published the soil contamination data of 60-kilometer area from Fukushima. And here's what it said. And by the way, they only measured iodine-131, cesium-134, and cesium-137. The results showed the worst contaminated area in Fukushima is 33 times. That's 3,300% worse than Chernobyl. What's that mean? It means that Fukushima is worse than anybody had imagined. In Chernobyl, the area contaminated worse was 1,400,000 BQs, and it was defined as the worst red zone, quote, immediate mandatory evacuation area. In Fukushima, in the Minamichi, 22 kilometers northwest of Fukushima plant is contaminated. They measured it at 49 million. That means that Fukushima is 3,300% worse than Chernobyl, which was the worst nuclear disaster in history of one, except for what happened. Actually, it was worse in long-term deaths, a million deaths. So what you're looking at, probably anywhere from 10 to 30 million Japanese will develop various diseases, many of them perishing over the years to come because they've been lied to. So you think you're going to get the truth from your public health officials when if the truth doesn't provide them with a plan B? What the hell are you going to do with tens of millions of people, if the food's contaminated, the water's contaminated, it's not safe for them to live there, but they're not going to drop dead tomorrow? Then you deny the significance of the problem and push it back into the future, hoping that something else will come along that'll remedy the situation. Same thing with water. So we should ban all antibiotic farming. We should not allow sludge to be used in fertilizing. And we should push back and close down completely the FDA and the USDA because they are of absolutely zero value to the American public. We need new, independent people in that position. I'm Gary Nall. Back in a moment. Please stay with us.
Everything that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh. You can make them cry. Anything, anything can go. Clown with his pants falling down, or the dance that's a dream of romance, or the scene where the villain is mean, that's entertainment.
The light on the lady in tights.
Or the bride with the guy on the side.
Or the ball where she gives them her all. That's entertainment.
The plot can be hot, simply teeming with sex.
Nice to have you with us today, everyone. Here is our issue of the day, and then think about this, and then please call in and share your points of view. We encourage all different types of input from this audience. This is about America becoming a police state. In the next 2 weeks, I'll be doing an in-depth 1 or 2 hour special on America the police state. We'll be having Professor Marjorie Cohen, Juan Cole, Henry Giroux, and others on that program. And they'll be showing you how our constitutional protections are being eroded, the excesses of the police state, and the militarization of our police. And what we're seeing now is bad, and it certainly is. It's just the beginning. Then I'll be doing a professional hour, meaning the best of the best minds in the world, on the Progressive Commentary Hour, on austerity, economics, and politics, including Harry Berman and many others who are going to show you what happens when we ask others to live under austerity. But last night, I guess it was 2 o'clock in the morning, we filmed very late last night. I was in a different state, and I'm filming. As it turned out, I asked homemakers in one town, do you know anyone who has come from a middle-class, upper-middle-class educated background who's suffering? And they said, are you kidding? I said, no, I'd like to film them. Dozens of people. And I said, okay, let's make it more specific. Do you have people, single parents, with children? Yes. I wanted to see if there was any commonality. So we filmed late, 2 in the morning, I think we filmed 2. And one of the women, who has 4 children, teenagers, said to me, you know what really angers me? I said, what? She said, here I am. I have a master's degree from Columbia University. I was able to support my family. My husband and I separated. He went through a challenging time financially. He couldn't find the work, and it all fell on me. And I wanted to provide my kids with the background and that they needed, but then I waited too long, and I lost my home. I used up my savings. I made a lot of stupid choices. I'd do it differently today. But right now, she said, I don't have one day's worth of income. And yet I have 4 kids that I have to take care of who are in school and all their needs. She said, I'm exhausted at the end of the day. And yet I don't know of a single politician at the state or federal level that has to worry about not having food on their table that day or a place to sleep that night. And she said, that's what angers me, that the people in power do not represent the people, the rest of us. They represent their own political elite group, and they're not suffering. Until they come out here and see what it's like to go through what we, and she was referring to the whole group in this one person's house, I had got them all together. And she said, until they understand what we go through, single parents, then how in the world can they possibly help change anything? Because I see nothing that they're doing is changing anything. I thought that was very insightful. And I hadn't heard anyone discuss that specifically about, yeah, let's ask. Who in Congress is hungry? Who in Congress is homeless? Who anywhere in power is homeless or hungry? Because I can show you a lot of people I'm filming every day, large groups who are either homeless or couch surfing. And by the way, everyone in that room last night, every one of them is staying with a relative or a friend because they're all homeless. All have college educations. All were extremely intelligent. All had very bright kids as far as, and I interviewed the kids too. And you'll hear some of the statements. And yet, where's our political class that in any way mirrors the rest of us? And how did we as a people get to where we put people in power who themselves are only interested in power? And all you have to do is look at it. In any case, it's a separate subject. So I'm dealing with that on a special. Also, I'm going to deal with the World Bank and the bankers. And we're going to take a look in depth at Carol Quigley's famous research in Tragedy and Hope, and shows what happens when you do not pay attention to the major banking cartels that literally form the landscape that they want. And we see that happening in Europe and the United States. In any case, here's the deal. There is a shocking piece of legislation working its way through Congress. A defense authorization bill for 2012 allows for military detentions of American citizens in the USA. Indefinite detentions with no trial. The American Civil Liberties Union notified, I saw their alert. It says, quote, the U.S. Senate is considering the unthinkable, changing detention laws to imprison people, including Americans living in the United States itself, indefinitely and without charge. The Defense Authorization Bill, again, the Defense Authorization Bill, a must-pass piece of legislation, is headed for the Senate floor with troubling provisions that would give the president and all future presidents the authority to indefinitely imprison people without charge or trial, both abroad and in the United States. If enacted, Section 1031 and 1032 of the NDAA would, and then it goes through all the things it would allow to have happen. The bill was drafted in secret by Democrat Carl Levin from Michigan and John McCain from Arizona and passed in a closed-door committee meeting without even a single hearing. Now, the American Civil Liberties Union, which I support, is the nation's oldest organization of its kind, emerging from the American Union Against Militarism, which opposed the U.S. entry into the First World War in 1917. Without endorsing everything the U.S. ACLU has done, which I don't, it is possible to recognize this organization for the good that it does do. So we should be calling our senators and saying no to this. We do not want this bill to pass. This would just make it one step closer to becoming a complete fascist regime. And so we need to let everyone know no. And it is specifically sections 1031, 1032, and it is the military Authorization Act. We want that gone. So your thoughts on that? And also the idea that we are creating a police state in the United States. So do we want this to happen? Do you want to give the President of the United States the provision that they can arrest any American at any time they want for any reason, and yet you wouldn't be told what you're arrested for, you wouldn't have right to counsel, and you could stay and rot there forever? By the way, you have people, Democrats and Republicans alike, Nancy Pelosi, they all support this. You know, America is becoming a battlefield. The real warriors are not on the scene yet. The people who are going to save America are not the college students or the young people who are out there now. I fully support standing up, raising hell, getting angry, giving the finger to everyone in authority. I mean everyone in authority. Tell them to go sit on it. Because they're all a bunch of punks. Everyone in Washington's a punk. And they should all, every single member of Congress, no exception, should be thrown out. Everyone in the White House, and they should all be held accountable with no ability for forgiveness. You put together a Truth and Reconciliation Commission, like they did in South Africa and Argentina and Brazil, and let Bill Clinton, let all the people who have been in office who are still alive, come forward and have a chance. You tell the truth, which would be the first time in your worthless lives, or you go to prison for life. And see what we learn. And then get all the files from all the offices and read the cables and see how we've been lied to. And then look at all the heads of the Democrat and Republican system and the military-industrial complex and all the other cartels that have used and abused Americans who have been acting as if none of this was happening. But these will not be the people who cause change. It is my opinion that getting into the streets and making the whole issue about your tent or your piece of land that you're going to fight for, you better make sure at some point you start working on specific issues that are germane to what's really happening, because that's how you challenge control. You've got to hurt them financially. What's being done now is not going to hurt anyone financially. You have to be the change and then talk about it in unity. Otherwise, you just have chaos. The real people are going to help America, and are not on the scene yet. They won't be here for a year, year and a half. They're here. They're waiting. The poor working class. That's who you don't see anywhere. You don't see them in the Patriot groups. You don't see them in the Occupy. You don't see them in the Tea Party. Don't for a second think they're not there. I'm out there. I know what they're thinking. I know what they're capable of. And it won't be a passive ass-kicking when they unleash. Watch to see if I'm right or wrong in this. In any case, so what are we going to do? We're going to allow ourselves to be a nation where the Posse Comitatus Act is violated? By the way, just to let you know, the Army Times reveals that the 3rd Infantry Division's 1st Brigade Combat Team will be redeployed from Iraq to domestic operations within the United States, and the unit will soon be under the day-to-day control of the U.S. Army North and the Army Service component of the Northern Command. The Army Times reports this new mission marks the first time an active unit has been given a dedicated assignment to Northern Command, and that means they're there for, quote, crowd control. The soldiers are learning to use so-called non-lethal weapons designed to subdue unruly people. And the FBI is a part of this also. Why? Because the FBI has been given mandate that anyone protesting anything in the United States is to be considered, quote, a terrorist, unquote. That's the FBI memo. So if you're wanting peace in the world and you're nonviolent, you're now a terrorist in the eyes of the FBI. How far will we as the public allow them to do and go? Well, if you're a professional class, there is no limit because you can rationalize everything. Doctors, lawyers, engineers, professors, as long as you're in a nice position economically, intellectually, you're safe, you really don't have to compete in the real world, then I don't see you, with few exceptions in each group, yes, I don't see you as being the solution at all. Nor do I see the wealthy, their solution to nothing, nor to the working class, they're not going to do anything, nor the upper middle class, the gated community group. They're not. Then who's going to stand up and say, enough? That's my issue. Now I'd like to hear your response. Our number is 888-874-4888. I'm very concerned. I'm not giving up on this. I'm going to keep pounding this until finally we realize we, the public, are the problem. Because we allowed all this to happen right in front of us. And you can use excuses, but it wouldn't take a whole lot to determine their motives, how they've gone about this. And the Democrats and Republicans, the corporate Democrats and Republicans, are the ones responsible for guiding it, lying, and we chose to listen to what they were saying as lies and make it believe it was something else. Your thoughts. We look forward to those in a moment. I'm Gary Knoll, back to take your calls and to talk with some of the people. I just got word that we have Dr. Howard Robbins on the phone. Let's go over and say hello to Howard. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Gary.
Howard, I ask you when you get some good results with ozone to call us and tell us what it is. Do you have some patients?
Yes, I do. I asked 4 to call in, hoping that 2 at least would call. I think we have 3, maybe all 4 are on the line. I'd rather they tell you what happened with ozone therapy themselves.
I don't have their names, but if you get them on the line, be happy to talk with them.
Sure.
Who do we have?
Is Ben there?
Ben, are you on the line? No, Ben. Who do we have? Matt?
How about Walter?
Walter. Fred, you're on the line. Fred?
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Yeah.
Fred, what was or is your condition?
Well, I've been a diabetic for, you know, over 30 years, and I've been in for treatments with ozone to help, you know, cardiovascular issues. I've at times had problems with wound healing, and I received, you know, direct injection into the wound to...
Did you have gangrene?
Yep.
You had gangrene. Now,
yep.
Where was the gangrene on your body? Your foot, your legs?
On my feet.
Okay. What was the prognosis? Because normally when you have gangrene on your feet, in a traditional orthodox setting, you will have that foot amputated.
Yeah, well, you know, I went to the hospital for it, and, you know, they told me that, you know, they just wrapped it up and sent me home. And so I had gone to the doctor that was doing ozone, and they treated it. They
How is it today?
Completely healed. I mean, it took, with the ozone, it took a while, maybe 8 or 10 weeks, but it was completely healed.
So you're 100% healed of your gangrene?
Yes.
I don't want to put words in your mouth. You either have no gangrene or you still have some. Do you have any gangrene left?
Nothing.
So you're 100% Zero. Healed?
Absolutely.
Well, then you should feel lucky. Look up under the scientific literature under gangrene, orthodox success, and see how many people's feet or toes or fingers have been saved. All right? And then you'll realize what kind of great situation you're in. Be thankful. Count your prayers there. That saved
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Bonnie, you're next, Bonnie.
Hello?
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, Gary. How are you?
Good. What condition do you have or did you have?
Been dealing with candida or candidiasis.
For how long?
By the way, I feel like it's been kind of my whole life, but very intensely for about 5 or 6 years.
Okay, what was the success of your original orthodox or standard treatment?
Well, at this point, I've been doing the ozone treatments for about 9 months now, and honestly, I feel better now than I ever have in my entire life. No doctor that I went to was ever able to help me. They basically couldn't come up with a solution. They didn't even know what it was to begin with. I went to many hospitals, doctors, had many tests done, and no matter what I went through, they just basically looked at me, told me I was fine, and kind of sent me home. Once in a while, they give me an antibiotic, I think just to kind of give me something, and if anything, that would worsen the situation instead of better anything.
So how are you today?
So it was very frustrating. I feel great. I really, really do. I have tried so many other treatments, whether, like I said, either homeopathic or natural, and they've been helpful, but nothing like the ozone. It's incredible the way that I feel. If I have a bad day, you know, it would take me like 2 or 3 weeks to come back and feel better, where now, in a day, in a few hours, tops, I feel better, and just my overall sense of well-being, I just feel so much better than I ever have, because I believe the ozone is, you know, working on
good
on the candida,
Bonnie,
and any other situations going on.
Bonnie, we got to run, but thank you. I'm glad you told us that. And finally, Claudia. Hi, Claudia. You're on the air.
Yes.
Claudia, what condition did you have or do have?
I had HPV.
Human papillomavirus.
Mm-hmm.
How long had you had it?
I don't know, but once I was diagnosed, I started ozone, and within 6 weeks, my test came back negative.
So you no longer have it, and your blood chemistry shows no human papillomavirus?
Nope, and hasn't for 2 years.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Howard, I've got to run, but thank you. Anytime you have some patients using ozone, because I believe that ozone is the most underutilized natural healing agent that we can use in America, including using it preventatively. And thanks for bringing these patients on. And I'm particularly interested if you get people that we can see reverse herpes, hepatitis, very important in chronic fatigue syndrome. All right?
If anybody needs me, Gary, they can contact me at 212-581-0101. That's 212-581-0101. I'd be happy to answer any of their questions.
Thank you, Howard. That's Dr. Howard Robbins, who is probably America's leading authority on ozone therapy. Let's go over and say hello to David from New Rochelle. Hi, David. Your turn.
Hi there, Gary. I think this thing about this Northern Command and arresting Americans is the most important news ever that you've released, especially that the Democrats are behind it. Now, this thing is a long time coming. Recall back at Iran-Contra, Poindexter, Oliver North. Oliver North kept talking about a Northern Command, and that's his words. And you got all these think tanks, and they've probably been working on this since 1970, or maybe after Goldwater's that ad, and that atom bomb ad. But they're working on something, and the idea is, of course, to protect the rich from the rest of us. And you have a huge audience, but not as big as NBC and Fox and those guys. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe even Fox, if you got to them and gave them all this information, they might put it out. PBS probably wouldn't touch it because they
PBS,
get their money from the
PBS
government.
PBS is Petroleum Broadcasting Company. Their number one sponsor is Shell. So we're not expecting them to deal with this. However, in the next 3 weeks, all of our investigative reports and articles will go up online on Progressive Radio Network, and these will be sent to every conservative and liberal blog and news outlet in America.
I would try Fox, too.
They're included. I'm not excluding them. You know, maybe someone who is at least more open, like a Shepard Smith, who I happen to like. I think he is one of the most reasonable people there, but a lot of them are just megalomaniacs and wouldn't touch it. They're way too militaristic and too protecting the status quo. But thank you, David. I appreciate your suggestion. We will be doing it. And by the way, again, when I do my 1 hour to 2 hour special on this, it will be next Monday evening on a Progressive Radio Hour. Tonight on the Progressive Radio Hour at 7 o'clock, I'm going to take on the entire AIDS establishment and show you it's nothing but a pack of lies, and specifically a little twerpy organization, ACT UP, who has undue power within this network, not Progressive Radio Network. We wouldn't tolerate this. David Crow, Celia Farber, Professor Henry Bauer, Emeritus Professor of Chemistry and Science. We will have a panel showing you that virtually everything you've learned about AIDS is a lie, but how come we don't have anyone challenging it? That's tonight at 7 o'clock. And we also have some upcoming progressive commentary hours. For example, we have next week Professor Robert Thurman, Rabbi Michael Lerner, and Professor Dan McCannon talking about the role of necessity of spirituality in political and social activism. Where are the spiritual leaders in our political and social activist movements? So we have a wide variety of issues that we're going to be taking on. Thank you. Let's say hello to Donald from New Jersey. Hi, Donald. You're on the air.
Hello, Gary.
Yeah.
Hi, Gary. I think if the Senate approves this new law, I think it should be a line in the sand for any democracy-loving American. You know, this is a very un-American, undemocratic law. You know, I think it's peculiar that they vote on it during, you know, when most Americans are ready to go shopping and celebrate the holidays. And
in secret. It was voted on in secret, no public hearings.
The House voted in on secret, but now we can let the senators know. They're letting us know it's going to the Senate. It must have been, you know, somehow it got out.
We should have a national boycott.
We should shut it down. We have Occupy Wall Street. We have lots of things that exist now that didn't exist months ago.
But we have to be organized. Without organization, without letting...
We have to be in the streets, Gary. We have to. This is a line in the sand. This is
then you should...
We have a world economy teetering on the brink, and then you have the troops ready to go. It's just incredible timing.
Well, we should have Occupy Wall Street congregate around every one of the state capitals.
It should go beyond a name
the
called
federal
Occupy
and
Wall
Congress.
Street.
We should stop people from at the state level from ALEC, which is a corporate consortium of corporations, from buying the vote to get their state legislatures in their pocket. So we should boycott every state legislature and vote them all out. And we should also have protests in front of the Defense Department and these and around Congress. You've got to take this directly, and I agree with you.
If the Senate approves it, Gary, we should be out that day. That day. People should stop what they're doing. I don't know how many days of work I've missed a protest in the past few months, but I have to.
We need a national strike. We need to bring America to a standstill to show that we are not going to tolerate it. I agree, Donald. A line in the sand on this bill. You allow this to become law, you no longer have democracy in any form in the United States. Thank you, Donald. One last one. Max from New York City. You're on.
Gary, thank you for taking my call. My statement is that I think this is not the politician's fault. This is our fault. We've let it get too far, and it's our time right now to make a bunch of phone calls, apart from protesting. My question to you is, what is the name of this authorization bill? What's the number of it?
It's the Defense Authorization Bill. It's wording in the defense authorization bill, but we want to be against the entire defense authorization bill.
No, I understand, but does it have some sort of number, like bill number so-and-so?
I don't know if I have that in front of me. I don't have that in front of me. I will try to find that, and I will put that up as soon as we get it. All right, but I don't have the specific bill number. All I know is the title of the bill. But if you clearly state that you're against the military, the Defense Department military authorization, that's what it's listed as.
Okay, apart from calling our state senators here in New York, is there anyone that you would suggest that we focus on more than others in the other 50 states?
No, because the majority of the House passed this. So we have to assume that anyone who can be motivated by contracts from the military-industrial complex, contract states like California, New York, they're all going to already have been bought on this. It's the Defense Authorization Bill. That's what it's called, the Defense Authorization Bill, and it's specifically sections 1031 and 1032 that have the worst wording in it, okay?
Gary, thank you very much. Keep doing what you're doing.
All the best to you. Nick, you've been on hold, so we'll just say hello to you on Long Island, and you have the last word before we go in studio.
Oh, Gary, thank God that you put me on the air. Listen, I'm a retired police sergeant. I come from a military and police family that have served since World War I. I have spoken about this to people, and they've said to me, oh, you're crazy. I said, it's coming. We are in fascism right now. Okay? Now, we have to occupy the United States, Gary. That's what we have to do. And that last caller was touching upon some very good points. This is something where everybody has to stop completely, shut this country down if necessary, and I am fully prepared to put my life on the line for this cause. I'm fighting for my grandparents. I'm 58 years old. I have two young grandchildren. What kind of world are they going to grow up in?
I agree, and at some point we all have to stand up. I come from a family where my father fought in the Second World War on the USS Shep as a gunner's mate. I saw what happens when you take a democracy and police there to serve the public, and suddenly they're militarized and they're under military command, and then you start looking at anyone who offers any protest and it's on an FBI terrorist list for simply peaceful protesting. No, we cannot allow that to happen, because once it happens, then they have the power of law on their side, and we do not.
Yeah, Nick, have your right people contact me. I want to help you directly.
Okay.
I will spend. I'm retired. I have free time. I work with the WBAI. I'm a heavy contributor to the station. I will help you any way possible.
Give us your contact information.
All right. I'd like to. Could someone call Cookie Palmer at WBAI? She has my identifier. I don't want to put
right
this over the air. My phone number.
Okay, that's fine. We will do that.
Cookie
Thank
Palmer has
much
my phone number, both my cell and my home number. Because I was just up there recently, and
okay,
she will give that information. And please have someone call me.
I will do that. Thank
you.
I appreciate
it. You got my word
it
on this, Gary. I'll be with you 100%.
Thank you. That's Nick, a retired sergeant, New York City Police Department, is on the side of the people. By the way, it's Senate Bill 1867. I just got this. Senate Bill 1867. Senate Bill 1867. Call and raise hell. They are about to take over America. This is a coup. Republicans and Democrats, the corporate elite, are doing it in front of us. We cannot allow this. We cannot tolerate this. We must fight them. And the mainstream media hasn't touched this. Well, we are. Senate Bill 1867, and these people are supposed to be serving us. They serve nobody but themselves. They're all megalomaniacs. They're selfish, and we should throw their asses out. Let's go into our studio now and say hello to Elizabeth and Jason. Hi, Jason and Elizabeth.
Hi.
Hi, Gary.
Jason, you first.
Hi, Gary. So just quickly, I have two quick things I wanted to go over. First off, we have this great event coming up on Thursday, December 1st at your Uptown Whole Foods, which is from noon to 5. We have Denise James and Jose Ortega coming, and they'll be giving out free samples of their homemade products, as well as bringing in many of their new body care and gluten-free vegan products to sell.
But that's not important. What's important is I want people to meet a homesteading couple, two recently retired New York City police officers from Bedford Stuy, put in their 20 years, noble service. And these are two who never fired a weapon in 20 years. That's 40 years of police work, because they believe always in restraint and talking through situations. So I commend them on their police service for New York City. in a tough neighborhood, Bed-Stuy, which is where they also live. They're both African Americans. Now, they are now doing homesteading, and I believe homesteading is one of the most important things we can do for the future. So if you want to, they've worked for over a year in mastering homesteading techniques. They're there for you to talk with about what they're doing to motivate you, for at least those of you who would like to learn how to do your own skills and have your own garden or home-based business, whatever it may be. So that's the reason they should be there. What else?
Excellent. So, and tomorrow, starting at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, we have a great new show with a guest of that you've had on many times, Harvey Wasserman. It's Harvey Wasserman's Green Power show. So we would love people to join us and listen to his brand new show where he talks about everything from energy to topics he's discussed with you in the past. So it's a great new show that's
He's one of the best minds in America. Thank you very much.
Excellent.
Elizabeth, your turn.
Hello. We have a selection of emails. I'll take a few here. Kevin says he and his wife were in South Miami about 2 months ago in an area close to Homestead. They were looking for trees for landscaping, and they pulled into a large palm farm. And there, beside the big red Ford pickup truck, was a very tall, very muscular man lifting what must have been around 250 pounds weight of palm tree, and also a big pot that was about 30 gallons. And he just lifted it into the back of the truck, he got in and he drove away. And his wife said, that looks very much like Gary Null. And then later on, they happened to be looking through TV and they saw you on the screen airing on PBS, and it was a striking resemblance to you. And they want to know, was that you that they saw?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, I was in an area called Homestead, which is about an hour south of Miami. I guess it was a little over a month ago. I came in for a day to get a couple trees for ones that I was replacing for the day. So, yeah.
Very nice.
Next.
Okay, another one is anonymous, works on Wall Street. He says, I assure you, I am one of the good guys. He says he's been listening for some time with his wife, who's an attorney, also works on Wall Street, and both have said that your program is the most accurate program that shows the real indications of what's happening, the reality of what's really going on. And he says your commentaries over the last 5 years approve this. He says, what are your thoughts, please, on the recent German bond sale that's failed? He says, what's the real message behind it? Because it seems the media just are clueless, and also in Wall Street, what's actually taken place?
Okay. I'll be happy to address that. Let me just mention for the stations that carry only the first 55 minutes of our show, we'll be saying goodbye within the next 60 seconds, but you can continue hearing the program for the next 6 minutes by going to progressiveradionetwork.com. Also, we're offering a free newsletter. It's free all the time, but for anyone who would like to get the latest on what's happening in the world, it's every week. It's prn.fm. It's www.prn.fm. Now to the issue. Last week, the German government offered up to sell bonds. Well, normally the strongest economy over in and the healthiest cash flow would be Germany, but it failed miserably. It was only able to sell, it wasn't able to sell 35% of its 10-year bonds. And yet at the same time, oddly enough, Italy, the largest European Union country that requires a bailout of its debt, was able to sell its bonds at almost 8%. And then how could that be? How could Germany, which requires no bailout and has a disproportionate amount of the assets in Europe compared to Italy, Greece, Spain, Portugal, how's that possible? I believe that what you saw was Goldman Sachs and U.S. Bank and the Federal Reserve saying to Germany, hold on a second, we don't want to see the Eurozone broken up. And also the German Minister of Finance, Wolfgang Schäuble, was suggesting that why don't the private banks that are holding the debt of Greece and Italy and Spain, why don't you start writing off some of that debt as just write it off, lose it. No way. So by giving a wake-up call to Germany, and mind you, who are the biggest buyers of these bonds? Goldman Sachs and the Treasury, or not our Treasury, but our Federal Reserve. And so the big guys said, we want 100 cents on the dollar We want astronomical interest on these bonds, and we want to privatize, and we want austerity programs. Now, you, Germany, don't start talking about having two Eurozones, the weak countries that we can split off and say goodbye to, and the strong countries that are left. We want it all together. Why? Because they get all their money back. Now, here's what you're not hearing. Have you ever heard of the Romanian mayor of Florin, Cazucu?
No.
Last week, he ended a six-day hunger strike. Why would a mayor in a Romanian city, and you know that Romania is one of the poorest of the European Union countries,
right.
Why would he do this? Because in his town, 10,000 residents have no fuel.
God.
The public institutions and hospitals have no fuel. Now, it gets cold in Romania. You can have 40 degree below zero days. And with no fuel, he was going on this personal strike. And he says, you know, give us some fuel. And they said, okay, they gave him 12 days worth of fuel. 12 days with a winter coming up, 30 degrees Celsius below. No, not a good idea. But we didn't hear about that in the United States. Do you know that wood-burning stoves, which were once a symbol of poverty, are now in Greece as one of the hottest items to purchase?
Wow.
Yeah. And that heating bills, after the government in Athens raised energy taxes, are now what's on people's minds? How am I going to stay warm this winter? And even wealthy Germany, that has no bailout, it is also has more soup kitchens than ever before since World War II, 700 soup kitchens across the country. But you won't see them where you have tourists. So don't expect to see soup kitchens in the largest city like Berlin. Right. But go right outside where the tourists are and you've got soup kitchens in Germany. So what has happened is there's what's called the Paris Credit Municipal. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
It was founded in 1637. It is the oldest pawnbroker in Europe. They have seen a tremendous rise from dozens of customers to 700 customers a day. Who are these people? The middle class. Britain's Citizens Advice Bureau. You're from Britain. Have
yes.
you ever heard of it?
Yeah, very
it's
much.
It's one of the largest charities.
Yeah.
You did charity work over there.
Yeah.
Now they're seeing enormous inquiries about people who have jobs, but can't afford to pay their bills, so they're doing everything they can to sell everything they have. So what you have is you have the working class and the middle class all over Europe selling more watches, homes, cars, televisions, anything they can unload just so they can survive. That's what's happening all over Europe. All of that is because the austerity measure of the European Central Bank and Goldman Sachs and other banks and saying, give us high interest, we're not taking any write-downs, get rid of pensions, get rid of jobs, pay people less per hour, take away free medicine, take away anything that we can save, and then privatize the rail system, privatize the electric system. Let us come in there and own your water system. So every glass of water, every drop of water we can profit from. That's who's behind all this. Now, the trouble is the average American never knows facts. We are the most illiterate country for where we should be. If I ask you, for example, to name me the head of Italy or name me the new president of the European Central Bank, the most powerful man in Europe, would you know his name?
The new prime minister of Italy, no, he got a new one, but I don't remember his name.
Okay, well, the head of the European Central Bank is Mario Draghi. D-R-A-H-G-H-I. He was the vice chairman and managing director of Goldman Sachs International, and he was the Italian executive director of the World Bank, one of the most corrupt banks in the world. He was the governor of Bank of Italy. He was a governing council of the European Central Bank and head of the most powerful bank in the world, the Bank of International Settlements. Mm-hmm. Wonder whose interest he's going to be on.
Right, exactly.
Whose side? The banks.
Yeah.
All right? So if you don't know the power players and what their game is, then you won't know that we're going to run into two things. One, I believe that in the next 24 months, Europe will be in complete chaos and major violent demonstrations. I believe the first will be Greece, then I believe Spain, Italy, Portugal, Ireland will all be fighting their governments. There'll be coups, there'll be stopping this, and the euro will drop like an egg hitting concrete. So people think the euro is a great investment, safe investment. They don't know the politics. Europe is broke. The European banks are broke. But backing up that European debt are the derivatives and credit default swaps of Goldman Sachs. So here's how it works. If the European banks and countries began to say, we're going to have to write off 50% of this debt, the people who bet that that wouldn't happen have to make up the difference. And they put positions sometimes 10 to 100 times higher than the actual value of the currency, they will be bankrupt. Goldman Sachs could go bankrupt in an hour if this happens. So Goldman Sachs, with all of its power, is going to tell all the European countries, you play by the rules. We control the world. We control you. You will pay 100 cents on the dollar. We're not going to write off anything, and there's not going to be anybody dropping out of the Eurozone because we cannot afford that to happen because we bet against it. That's the truth of all of it. And you will hear that broadcast nowhere in the United States.
Yes, exactly. Okay. That's great. It's terrifying. I mean, it should be stopped. It's just outrageous.
It is, but unfortunately, you first have to have an educated public. We're out of time. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
And I want to thank all of you for listening. I'm Gary Knoll. Tonight, 7 p.m., an hour that you won't want to miss, the most downloaded radio program in the United States, the Progressive Commentary Hour. Have a nice day.
Saw you look quite so pretty before. Never saw you dress quite so handsome. What's more, I could hardly wait to keep.
The Gary Knoll Show is produced in our New York City studios. The producer is Richard Gale. The engineer is Matthew Bogart. All shows are archived by Kyle Pollard. Our chief archivist is Sharon Pride, and the program director is Jason Tabenfeld.